This is the second part to spiritual warfare. I wanted to start getting more depth in regards to the pattern of how we stand against spiritual attacks. And I want to make it so simple. Jesus was our final example. The scriptures show us that what he did, we are to copy what he did, because he is the final example. He is our final example. So let's go to the Gospels in Matthew chapter 4. This is when the enemy, the devil, took him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He was taken to be tempted by the devil. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was so hungry afterwards. And then the Bible says that when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And then the devil took him up to the temple, the holy city, and he put him on the temple. He sat him on the temple, and he said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And again, the devil took him to exceeding high mountain, to a high mountain, and he said, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. I imagine in a blink of an eye, or in a quick timing. And it said, and he showed him the glory of them all. Basically, he owned them all. He said, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Get thee hence, Satan, get behind me. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou worship." Then the devil left him. It leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Okay, this is so simple. And when I saw this, yes, it's hard. Sometimes it gets really hard. But the super simple fact is that when we encounter spiritual warfare, what we do, we have a weapon. In Hebrews 4, it says that the word of God is truth. It's a sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and division of bone and marrow. It pierces, it helps us understand what we're really made of, what we're really thinking, what the word really means, the word of God. So the weapon against the enemy is the word of God. That's why in the book of Joshua 1, there's a promise to us to memorize and to understand the word and to really just to let it sink in, let it metabolize, and let it permeate the way we live, think, and breathe. Using the word of God as a weapon when we get temptations. The enemy comes against our mind. The Bible in 2 Corinthians, and let me go there because it's so important, and I'm trying to break this up as simple as I can. In 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6, it says, we don't walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Meaning, we use the word of God to combat any things that come against our mind. That's how the enemy came against Jesus. He came against his flesh. He came against his eyes, and he came against his basically pride. And Jesus said, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So basically, we use the word of God. That is the final example, the way Jesus did warfare. We use the weapon of our warfare, which is out of our mouth. We speak the word of God to quench every word that come against our mind. We cast it down at the feet of Jesus. And I hope I'm going to continue breaking this down. I hope this is simple enough. If not, message me. Thank y'all.